It's to the grass that grows through the cracks of the pavement of the street. Find a weakness and defeat the concrete. This is your mother calling, who you've abused and uprooted. Chopped down, bruised, polluted, and use any way you're suited. You know that book, where that tree, gives that spoiled little kid damn near everything he needs. Them branches and leaves, well, I'm here to decree now that that tree was me, but now I'm only just a stump. This self-fulfilling prophet margin got no way to stop it. Larger monkeys will piss in the well where they get their drinking water from, and not even notice the smell. You said you wanna save the planet, but you know your mother's planet, so that she's not the one who needs saving. She says good luck with all of your paving, but you know that you'll be sorry.
Hi, everyone. Thank you for joining Where the Sidewalk Ends. I'm your host, Jasper. And today I want to read to you a book from 1925. It was written by Florence Scovelshin. It's called The Game of Life and How to Play It. The Game of Life and How to Play It. The game. Most people consider life a battle, but it is not a battle. It is a game. It is a game. However, which cannot be played successfully without the knowledge of spiritual law. And the Old and the New Testaments give the rules of the game with wonderful clearness. Even Jesus Christ himself taught that it was the game of giving and receiving. Whatsoever a man soweth, that shall he also reap. This means that whatever man sends out in word or deed will return to him. What he gives will be received. If he gives hate, he will receive hate. If he gives love, he will receive love. If he gives criticism, he will receive criticism. If he lies, he will be lied to. If he cheats, he will be cheated. We are taught also that the imagining faculty plays a leading part in the game of life. Keep thy heart, or imagination, with all diligence, for out of it are the issues of life. This means that man images whatever he has in his mind, it sooner or later externalizes in his affairs. I know of a man who feared a certain disease. It was a very rare disease and difficult to get, but he pictured it continually and read about it until it manifested in his body, and he died the victim of a distorted imagination. So we see, to play the game successfully, the game of life, we must train the imagining faculty. A person with an imagining faculty trained to image only good brings into his life every righteous desire of his heart. Health, wealth, love, friends, perfect self-expression, his highest ideals. The imagination has been called the scissors of the mind, and it is ever cutting day by day the pictures man sees there. And sooner or later, he meets his own creations in his outer world. To train the imagination successfully, man must understand the workings of his mind. The Greek said, know thyself. There are three departments of the mind: the subconscious, the conscious, and the superconscious. The subconscious is simply power without direction. It is like a stream of electricity, and it does what it is directed to do. It has no power or induction. Whatever man feels deeply or imagines clearly is impressed upon the subconscious mind and carried out in the minutest detail. For example, a woman I know, when a child, always made believe she was a widow. She dressed up in black clothes, she wore long black veil, People thought she was very clever and amusing. She grew up and married a man with whom she was deeply in love. In a short time, he died, and she wore black and the sweeping veil for many years. The picture of herself as a widow was impressed upon the subconscious mind, and in due time worked itself out, regardless of the havoc created. The subconscious mind was behind that. Now, the conscious mind has been called mortal or the carnal mind. It is the human mind that sees life as it appears to be. It sees death, disaster, sickness, poverty, and limitation of every kind, and is impressed, and it impresses the subconscious. The superconscious mind is the God mind within each man, and in the realm of perfect ideas. In it is the perfect pattern spoken by Plato, the divine design. For there is a divine design for each person. There is a place that you are to fill and no one else can fill. Something you are to do which no one else can do. There is a perfect picture of this in the superconscious mind. It usually flashes across the conscious and or as an unattainable idea, something too good to be true. In reality, it is man's true destiny or destination flashed to him from the infinite intelligence which is within himself. Many people, however, are in ignorance of their true destinies and are striving for things and situations which do not belong to them and would only bring failure and dissatisfaction if attained. For example, a woman came to me and asked me to speak the word that she would marry a certain man with whom she was very much in love. She called him A.B. I replied that this would be a violation of spiritual law, but that I would speak the word for the right man, the divine selection, the man who belonged to her by divine right. I added, if A.B. is the right man, you cannot lose him. If he isn't, you will receive his equivalent. She saw A.B. frequently, but no headway was made in their friendship. One evening, she called and said, do you know, for the last week, A.B. hasn't seemed so wonderful to me? I replied, well, maybe he's not the divine selection. Another man may be the right one. Soon after that, she met another man who she fell in love with, who fell in love with her at once, and who said she was his ideal. In fact, he said all the things she had always wished A.B. would say to her. She remarked, it was quite uncanny. She soon returned his love and lost all interest in A.B. This shows the law of substitution. A right idea was substituted for the wrong one. Therefore, there is no loss or sacrifice involved. Jesus Christ said, seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things shall be added unto you. And he said the kingdom was within man. The kingdom is the realm of right ideas for the divine pattern. Jesus Christ taught that the man's word played a leading part in the game of life. By your words ye shall be justified, and by your words ye are condemned. Many people have brought disaster into their lives through idle words. For example, a woman asked me why her life was now one of poverty and of limitation. Formerly, she had a home, was surrounded by beautiful things, and had plenty of money. We found she had often tried of the management of her home, tired. We found she had often tired of the management of her home. She had said repeatedly, I am sick and tired of things. I wish I lived in a trunk. And she added, today I'm living in that trunk. She had spoken herself into the trunk. The subconscious mind has no sense of humor, and people often joke themselves into unhappy experiences. For example, a woman who had a great deal of money joked continually about getting ready for the poorhouse. In a few years, she was almost destitute, having impressed the subconscious mind with a picture of lack and limitation. Fortunately, the law works both ways, and a situation of lack may be changed to one of plenty. For example, a woman came to me one hot summer's day for a treatment for prosperity. She was worn out, dejected, and discouraged. She said she possessed just $8 in the world. I said, good, we'll bless that $8 and multiply them as Jesus Christ multiplied the loaves. and the fishes. For he taught that every man had the power to bless and to multiply, to heal and to prosper. She said, "What shall I do next?" I replied, "Follow intuition. Have you a hunch to do anything or to go anywhere? Intuition means intuition, or to be taught from within. It is man's unerring guide, and I will deal more with this, fully with this law, in a following chapter. But for now, let's return." The woman replied, "I don't know. I seem to have a hunch to go home. I've just enough money for a car fare." Her home was in a distant city and was one of lack and limitation. And the reasoning mind or intellect would have said, "Stay in New York and get work and make some money." I replied, "Then go home. Never violate a hunch." I spoke the following words for her: "Infinite Spirit, open thy way for a great abundance. For whatever it is that she wants, and she is an irresistible magnet for all that belongs to her by divine right." I told her to repeat it continually. Also, well, she left home immediately. In calling on the woman one day, she linked up with an old friend of her family. Through this friend, she received thousands of dollars in the most miraculous ways. She has said to me often, "Tell people about the woman whom came to you with only $8 and a hunch." There's also plenty of on man's pathway, but it can only be brought into manifestation through desire, faith, or the spoken word. Jesus Christ brought out clearly that man must make the first move. "Ask and it shall be given you. Seek and ye shall find. Knock and it shall be opened unto you." It's in Matthew 7:7. In the scriptures we read, "Concerning the works of my hands, command ye me, infinite intelligence." God is ever ready to carry out man's smallest or greatest demands. Every desire, uttered or unexpressed, is a demand. We are often startled by having a wish suddenly fulfilled. For example, one Easter, having seen many beautiful rose trees in the florist windows, I wished I would receive one, and for an instant saw it mentally being carried in the door. Easter came, and with, what do you know, with its beautiful rose tree, it was a beautiful rose tree. I thanked my friend and the following day and told her it was just what I wanted. She replied, "I didn't send you a rose tree. I sent you lilies." The man had mixed the order and sent me the rose tree simply because I had started the law in action, and I had to have a rose tree. Nothing stands between man and the highest ideals and every desire in his heart but doubt and fear. When man can wish without worrying, every desire will be instantly fulfilled. I will explain more fully in the following chapters the scientific reason for this and how fear must be erased from the consciousness. It is man's only enemy. Fear is man's only enemy. Fear or lack, fear of failure, fear of sickness, fear of loss, and fear of insecurity on some plane. I mean, Jesus Christ said, "Why are ye fearful, O ye of little faith?" That was in Matt 8:26. So we can see, we must substitute faith for fear. For fear is only inverted faith. It is faith in evil instead of good. The object of the game of life is to see clearly one's good and to obliterate all mental pictures of evil. This must be done by impressing the subconscious mind with a realization of good. A very brilliant man whom has attained great success told me he had suddenly erased all fear from his consciousness by reading a sign which hung from his room. He saw printed in large letters this statement: "Why worry? It will probably never happen." These words were stamped indelibly upon his subconscious mind, and he has now a firm conviction that only good can come into his life. Therefore, guess what? Only good can manifest. In the following chapter, I will deal with the different methods of impressing the subconscious mind It is man's faithful servant. But one must be careful to give it the right orders. Man has ever a silent listener at his side. It's called the subconscious mind. It's like the universe following you with a notebook in its hand. Every thought, every word, all of that, it's impressed upon it and it carried out in amazing detail. It is like a singer making a record on a sensitive disc or photographic plate. Every note and every tone of the singer's voice is registered. If he coughs or hesitates, it will be registered also. Just like this, when I'm talking to you and reading this book. So let us break the old bad records in the subconscious mind. The records of love, the records of our lives, which we do not wish to keep. And make new and beautiful ones. Speak these words aloud with power and conviction. I now smash and demolish, by my spoken word, every untrue record in my subconscious mind. They shall return to the dust heap of their native nothingness, for they come from my own vain imaginings. I now make my perfect records through the Christ within, the records of health, wealth, love, and perfect self-expression. This is the square of life, the game completed. In other words, in the following chapters, I will show you how man can change his conditions by changing his words. Any man who does not know the power of the word is behind the times. Why? Because death and life are in the power of the tongue. You can find that in Proverbs 18:21. Next, we'll be reading the Law of Prosperity. I'm going to take a break, everybody. We're going to come back to this, and we're going to become prosperous. So stay tuned. Thanks for listening so far, and I hope you're liking it, because I like reading it.
When you eventually see through the veils to how things really are, you will keep saying again and again, this is certainly not like we thought it was. Thank you.